Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our sermon today is our second reading from the book of Hebrews, chapter 5, and the theme of Jesus, our High Priest. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessing of your word to us, a word that is able to make us wise unto salvation. Lord, bless us this day as we meditate on that word in Jesus' name. Amen. It's an interesting time, a challenging time to be a Christian in Australian society. I'm not usually great at keeping up with what's going on in the political world in Australia. Half the time I can't even remember which Prime Minister we're up to. But in recent weeks, and maybe even longer back than that, even I've been almost unable to remain ignorant of some of the things, some of the changes going on in our society. A few weeks ago, we heard of leaked documents from the Ruddock Review into Religious Freedom. And we heard of the strong reactions that people were having to it. Quite remarkable for a document that hasn't even been released yet. Last year, we heard of changes to the Marriage Act. Just this week, we've heard of changes to abortion laws in Queensland. It's an interesting time, a challenging time to be a Christian in Australian society. We've just recently completed a Royal Commission into institutional responses to sexual abuse. In fact, tomorrow morning, Scott Morrison will rise in Parliament and he will give a national apology to victims of abuse and to their families. You may be aware, you may not be aware, that the Lutheran Church of Australia and its institutions were among those identified by the Royal Commission who should be acknowledging their past failures to adequately protect children from abusive behaviour. And we're going to do that today through a short rite of repentance and reflection. These are interesting times, challenging times, are they not, to be a Christian in Australian society? The writer of the Hebrews encourages us, just before today's text, with these words. Since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. What does it mean that Jesus is our high priest? And what does it mean that because Jesus is our high priest, we can come to him and we can find in him grace to help us in our time of need? What does that mean? This morning I'd like us to look at Jesus as our high priest. The position, the preparation he goes through for that, and the purpose of that. So first we need to get our heads around a little bit what it means to be a high priest. And if you go into the Old Testament and you look at the people of Israel, what you see is that the high priest is someone with a very particular role and a very special role in their community. Each day at the temple in Jerusalem, there were offerings brought, there were sacrifices made in keeping with the law of Moses, and all the priests were part of this. But the high priest had a particular role, and that is that each year, I'm sure he worked more than one day a year, but each year on the Day of Atonement, the high priest would come into the inner sanctuary, the Holy of Holies, where the throne of God was and where the Ark of the Covenant was, where the Ten Commandments are kept. And he was the only person in Israel who was allowed in there. And on that day, he would bring a special sacrifice, and that was said to atone for the sins of the people. So the high priest had this special kind of function, this special role of mediating between God and people and bringing their sacrifices to him and his forgiveness back to them. That was the role of the high priest. So today we read in Hebrews, every high priest is selected from among the people and is appointed to represent the people in matters related to God. So the high priest is the one who represents the people to God and God to the people. It goes both ways. The high priest is like this bridge connecting heaven and earth, God and human beings. I want you to think a bit about the importance of a mediator, a go-between, something like that. Now, if I wanted to speak to our Prime Minister, Scott Morrison, I could call his office, I imagine, and I could say whatever I wanted to say, and I doubt he would return my phone call. Maybe he would, but I doubt it, right? There's no mediator. There's no go-between. There's no way to access him, right? But now I want you to think of another example, and maybe I have someone I know who's in Scott Morrison's office. Maybe I'm really good friends with the Deputy Prime Minister or something. I'm not, right? But imagine I am. And I call him up and I say, Michael, I've got some things I want to share with the Prime Minister, and I can't talk to him and I can't get an audience with him, but you can. And maybe you can just pass on a few of these things if you think it's worthwhile and if you get the opportunity. Now I'm in with a chance, right? Now at least there's a possibility that my thoughts could be brought before the Prime Minister. The power of a mediator, right? The power of a go-between, a person who bridges the gap, who inhabits both worlds. That's the high priest. That's the role of the high priest in Jewish society. Now, the text says this high priest is able to deal gently with those who are ignorant and are going astray, since he himself is subject to weakness. So you get this sense that the high priest isn't just attuned to the things of God, isn't just this godly character, but he's also very attuned to human beings, to the plight of people, right? He gets it. He's subject to it. He understands it. And so he deals gently with people. He doesn't lord it over people. He doesn't condemn people. He's not harsh with people, but he works gradually with people because he understands them and he understands what it's like to be them. If we think of what it's like to be a human being, right, the trials and the pressures and the concerns we have, or the temptations and the sins and the struggles we have, the high priest inhabits that world as well. So he gets it, as well as inhabiting this different world that is other than us too. It's like the high priest has one ear on the world and one ear on God, or a foot in both camps, so to speak. What that means for us is that all those things I mentioned at the start, you know, all those things going on in our culture, our society, all those things that go on in our lives, the high priest gets. He's part of, he understands. And what those things show us is what it means to be human. You know, we know what it is to be ignorant or to be weak or to go astray. We know what that means when we hear that because it's part of our lives. And we also know that that shows us our need for this high priest, someone who can get us an audience with God, someone who can help us in bringing those things to God and bringing God's good blessings back to us. What the book of Hebrews does is it goes on, actually for about the next 4 or 5 chapters, it goes on to say to us that we have such a high priest, that Jesus Christ has become for us a high priest. God said to him, "You are my son, today I have become your father." And in another place, "You are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek." It's a great name, isn't it? Yeah. It's not just a great name, it's a great story actually, Melchizedek. He was a priest before there was priestly people in Judaism. He was actually a non-Jew, but he blessed Abraham before Abraham was to be the father of many nations. And it's said of him that no one knew his mother or father. He had this no genealogy, no bloodline. They didn't know where he came from, but he had this incredible office and function. And so that's why he's compared to Christ, or Christ is compared to him. This is God's testimony about his son. "You are my son, a priest forever." So how does God make his son a priest forever? How does he call him, prepare him, get him ready for that important vocation? It says, "During the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears to the one who could save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverent submission. Son though he was, he learned obedience from what he suffered." So Jesus is depicted here as a student, right? Jesus is a student, and his time on earth is like his apprenticeship. It's his time of learning. And in that time of learning, there's several things he needs to learn. And one of those is he needs to learn what it means to suffer, to go through pain and struggle. And he needs to learn obedience. Although, of course, we know Jesus already had obedience, but he needed to learn what that obedience meant and looked like. He needed to learn submission, submitting his will to the will of God. And he needed to learn how to pray. Fervent prayers, petitions, cries, and tears. That's all part of what Jesus was learning here on earth. Now, when we think about those things and their place in our life, we look at them and we say that, you know, that they're unwelcome intrusions, those things, those difficulties, those struggles. And in many ways, they are unwelcome intrusions. But Jesus looks at those things and he sees an opportunity to learn something from them, to learn about God, to learn about himself, to learn about obedience, to learn about prayer, to learn about us, what it means to be human. And from our trials, we can learn what it is to need him and to need such a high priest. So Jesus' time on earth is kind of like his training ground. It's his time of formation. It's his seminary studies, right? He's getting ready for something, for an eternal vocation, an eternal task that God is just gradually handing over to him. We know that in our times of trial, our difficulties, whatever it is, we all go through different things. But we know that in those things, it's often those people who have been through something similar that are the most helpful or the most supportive. Not always, and it doesn't mean that there's not other people who can be helpful and supportive, but often it's people who have been through it that can help us go through it. And partly that's just because we can look at them and we can say, yeah, you've been there, you've done it, you've survived, you've come out the other side. And just their person is an encouragement to us. It can help us as we think through going through our own trials. Hebrews presents Jesus as the ultimate example of this. The one who has been there, been through it, done that, come out the other side, is able to empathize with us because he himself was subject to weakness and temptation. And yet we know he did not sin. He did not give in to it. This is how God prepares his son for his priesthood. It's in the school of suffering. It's in the school of hard knocks. It's in the school of this life. It's in the school of the cross that Jesus gets ready for his eternal vocation. So, what is the purpose of Christ as high priest? What is his eternal vocation? What is he doing now? Right? What is the role of Jesus in our life and in our world? The text concludes, once made perfect, or once brought to his ultimate goal, his perfection, he becomes for us the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. One commentator puts it like this: God's envoy now returns to heaven and reverses the situation. The obedience he learned, he now requires. The deliverance he had prayed for, he now grants. And by his perfect life, he undoes the ravages of sin on ours and brings us new life and new hope. You know, when I think of all those things that are going on in our culture at the moment and some of the challenges they present to Christians and cultural shifts and political changes, and social changes and changes in law and all sorts of things. When I think of some of the bad press that the church gets, often deserved, when I think of the bad reputation that the church often has in our society these days, sometimes it makes me feel justified that I don't follow politics very well and I'm not very aware of what's happening. Sometimes it just makes me feel despondent, upset with the way things are in the world. But more than that, it makes me grateful. And it makes me grateful to have the faith I have, to profess the faith I profess, and to have the high priest that we have. We need someone who stands up for us and stands in for us when we don't know how to stand up and how to stand in for ourselves. We need someone who represents us to God and God to us. We need someone who pours himself out for us so that we might in turn pour ourselves out for the world. You know, I often think that the only worse thing than being a Christian these days would be not being a Christian these days. Not having that faith to profess. Not having that guide, that center, right? That counselor, that comforter, that source of eternal salvation. Would be trying to navigate this world without having that in your life. And so I am grateful that I have it and hold firm to it. And I hope you are as well. Because we can't do this alone. We can't endure all this alone. We don't know how to. We don't have the knowledge. We don't have all the resources. We don't know the right people, right? We don't always get the audience. We don't always know how to speak up for ourselves. We're not perfect. But he is and does and has and can and will. Therefore, since we have such a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. And let us approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we encounter times of need in different ways. Times of need as a nation, times of need as a church, times of need as individuals within that nation and within that church. And we pray that in these times of need, each and every one of them, you would give us the confidence to come to you through your Son, our High Priest, Jesus Christ, to know that you hear us and to receive blessings, mercy, and grace to help in our time of need. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.